We're going to learn the new Perek, Perek Shmini in Ksubas, Daf Ayin Ches. Start from the Mishnah right at the top of the Yomid. Okay, let's jump right into it. The Isha Shanaflala Nechosim. So we're talking about, what we're going to talk about in this whole Mishnah is when a woman has property, if she's allowed to sell it, whether the husband has rights to it, whether he can undo the sale, whether the sale is final, and so on and so forth. So there's various possibilities over here. First situation, we're going to learn, by the way, primarily according to Rashi, because there are other Rishonim that learn slightly differently about when the acquisition happened, when the sale happened, but we're going to stick to Rashi's chat throughout. So, here we go. Ha'isha shenafla nechosim, if she had a woman that has property, that acquired property, ad shaloi tisares, before she even got engaged, as a single girl she received this property, and then Rashi adds in, and now she got engaged. Okay, because if she's not engaged, she's not married, she could do whatever she wants. Obviously, there's no connection to anybody. There's no connection to her husband. So we're talking about now she got engaged. Both Beishama and Beishilel agree that if there's, at this point, even though she's engaged at the moment, by the time she sells it, if she sold the property, actually, Shemarchera sounds lichatchila. That's a lashon of lichatchila. She may go ahead and sell the property, and both Beisham and Beis Hillel agree that the sale is final. Okay, because we'll see in a moment they disagree. Naflu la mishnas arsa, but if she only first acquired the property after she was already engaged, that means that there's already, when the property comes to her, there's already something that the husband has some expectations. So now, Beishama Yomim Timkor, Beishama still says, listen, right now they're still only engaged, and there's no problem over here. Again, she's only engaged. She didn't get married yet, because Rashi himself, again, this is another point of contention, but the way Rashi learns is that she's still engaged. Tosfos and others learn, because Rashi brings a raya from the later in the Mishnah, they learn that, no, we're talking about even after she's married, but that's the pashtus over here, that she's still engaged, so therefore Beis Shammai says, still, she's not married, she can go ahead and sell. Beis Hillel says, lichat chilo, she cannot go and sell because they have a connection now to the husband. However, elu ve'elu moidim, but both Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel agree, she'em mocher ve'nos no kayim. That, if she went ahead and sold it, it's good. Okay, so it means, again, according to Beis Shammai, she could sell it anyway, lechatchila. But according to Beis Hillel, Beis Hillel said she's not really supposed to sell that property without her husband's permission. But if she did, she went ahead and sold it, the sale is final. Now that, since she only received the property after she was engaged. And she's only engaged now. On that, Rabbi Yehuda says, Amru chachomim lifnei Rabbi Gamliel. The Chacham said to Rabbi Gamliel, "Hol v'zocha be'isha lo yizka b'nechosim." If he was zoicha in the wife, he married her, and we understand everything that we'll see in the Gemara is going to spell it out a little bit more clearly. But since everything that she has theoretically goes towards his property, so shouldn't he be zoicha in this property also, and therefore she should not be able to sell it? That is what the Chacham said to Rabbi Gamliel. However, Amar Lahem, so Rabbi Gamliel responded to them, he says, no, Al Chadoshim Anu Boishim, on the new ones we're embarrassed, El Sha'atim, we'll translate, we'll put this into the mission in a second, El Sha'atim Egalgun Aleinu V'Sayishanim, you are now rolling over even the old ones. What is this referring to? And the new ones, what he's referring to over here is, even the property that she acquires after they are married, even after they're married, it's a chiddish, that the Chachamim say that the husband goes and takes the property, that the husband can unwind the sale that his wife did on her own property. Obviously, we're not even discussing, it's not even up for discussion, the properties that belong to the husband. We're talking about property that belongs to her. It's her property, without a doubt. And even that, so there's a chiddush, the Chazal say that the husband has a right to unwind that and take it back, and we'll see the Gemara when that situation applies, but that the husband has a right to unwind and take back the property. So that itself is a chiddush, even after the marriage. Certainly when they're only engaged, that only during Erisin, certainly in those times I have a difficulty saying that the husband should be able to take those property back. So we see it comes down to a machlokes, the Chachamim and Rabbi Gamliel, about whether or not, again, in this situation, the way Rashi learns that we're talking about during engagement, that while they're engaged during Erisin, I use the word engagement for Arison, but we all know what we're talking about. Arison is a little bit more than just being engaged, but okay, but let's use that terminology, just easier for us. So during this period of time, the Chachamim say, sure, why not? And Rabbi Gamliel says, no. Marriage is a chiddush. Engaged, while they're engaged, is not so much. Okay, now, until now we've been talking about property that so far we discussed while she was single and then got engaged, and when she's engaged and she's still engaged. That's what we're talking about so far. Next case in the Mishnah is Nafla Lo Misha Nises. Let's say she only first acquired the property, received the property after she was married. Elu ve'elu moidim. So here, elu ve'elu moidim, they agree. So both Beisham and Beisil agree. That if she went ahead and sold, notice the lashon is machra v'nosna, that if she sold it or gave it away, that the Baal takes it back. And again, the Gemara will discuss the case that the husband is able to take. I will point out to you that even though the Mishnah does say machra v'nosna, sold or gave it away, there are those Rishonim that learn that it doesn't apply to the Nesina. If she gives away as a matana, she can always give away her property. It's only this Mishnah is only talking about sales, like all the other cases in the Mishnah were talking about sales. That, and they say it's just an expression. She sold or gave away, but it really only means sales. Most of the Rishonim learn that it means no. The same rules apply, that if she gave it away, the husband, it would be a major nafkamina, whether the husband can take it back or not. Whether that was what Chazal said, that the husband had the jurisdiction over this property or not. Okay. Now, Adshaloi Nises V'Nises, here we have back to this case again. If she received the property before she got married, again, whether it's during engagement or beforehand is a point of contention, but let's say she received it while she was engaged and then got married. Rabbi Gamliel Loimer Imach Rav Nosno Kayim. Once again, Rabbi Gamliel over here says, now, because she got it before she was married, Rabbi Gamliel Lashitasai, if it was only engaged property, then she controls it. Amar Rav Chanina ben Akavya. Amru lifnei Rabbi Gamliel. Again, so he says the story is like this. They said to Rabbi Gamliel, Halil b'zacha b'isha, lo yizkeh b'nechasim, similar to the line we said before, that since now he is married and everything she has belongs to him and things that she acquires will belong to him, so doesn't it make sense that he should get these properties as well? Meaning the intention over here is that she should not be able to sell it. That's what they said to Rabbi Gamliel, Amar lehem, and Rabbi Gamliel's response was the same thing, Ala chadoshim anaboshim. It was difficult enough for us to say, again, the word boisha means we're embarrassed, but it's embarrassed for a reason that we don't understand. Chazal were masakin, that property that she gets while she's married, the husband controls. Now you're taking the old ones, also you're taking even things, that property that she had before they were married. So again, Rabbi Gamliel does not like this idea that if she had property from before the marriage, that now that she got married, all of a sudden she loses her rights to that, to do whatever she wants with the property, and the husband somehow controls that property now that they're married. Again, that's Rabbi Gamliel's shita. Clearly the Chacham disagree with that, and they hold that no, once they get married, it becomes marital property, and the husband is in charge. Okay, now, a whole different approach. Reb Shimon Chilek, he says the difference is not before they got engaged, after they got engaged. That's not what's relevant over here. What's relevant is Ben Nechasim, he makes a distinction, Chilek, he makes a separation between Ben Nechasim and Nechasim, between different types of properties. Nechasim, are you doing Labal, Loitimkar? Those properties that are known to the husband, and we're going to talk about, the Gemara is going to try to define what's considered known and what's not considered known. Those that are known to the husband, she not allowed to sell them. Machra v'nosna, bottle. And therefore, since she's not allowed to sell it, if she does, it's nothing. And those, she'eni yidu in labal, those properties that are quote unquote not known to the husband, loy timkar, she also is not allowed to sell, because once again, once she's in a marriage, she should be saving those for the husband. However, v'machra v'nosna kayim, but if she did give them away, or if she sold them, that sale stands. Again, we'll see what that means. It stands. It stands that either, again, depending on how the Gemara defines it, either during the marriage or even after the marriage, the sale will stay intact. Okay, so the bottom line is we have three categories. We have property that she got when she was single. All of these obviously are either she's engaged or married at the time. Property that she got engaged, that she got when she was single and then got engaged, that for sure she can sell. Property that she got when she was engaged and then stayed engaged, that's the machlokes Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. And then property that she got either before she was engaged, while she was engaged, or even before she was engaged and got married, once she gets married, so that's already, now you get into the bigger issue between the Chachamim and Rabbi Gamliel, whether or not it's a good sale. And Rabbi Shimon, again, just summarizing the Mishnah too quickly, Rabbi Shimon says that that's the marriage engagement is not the issue over here. It's a question of whether the husband, quote unquote, knows about the property. All cases. Oh, when they're married. When they're married. Rav Shimon is talking about when they're married. Zak the Gemara Viter. So now we finished the Mishnah. Now the Gemara says, Maishna Reisha Deloy Pligi, Umaishna Sefer De Pligi. So the Gemara just wants an explanation. In the beginning, we said that once she's even if she got property before she was engaged, and then she got it, but now she's engaged, they're both Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel say, no problem, do whatever you want. But if she got the property after she was engaged, but she's also still engaged, in both cases she's engaged at the time, there Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel have a machlokes. Why? Right now she's at the same stage. She's engaged. So why is there a difference between those two cases? Amadavei Rav Yanai, so in the yeshiva of Rav Yanai they learned, Reisha Beschusa Naflu, in the Reisha case, when she was single, it was really, it's because of her that she has the property. It's in her schus, if you want to translate it simply, and therefore she completely controls. Seifa b'schusa inaflu, but she only received the property. Obviously, he has something to do with it, because they are now engaged. Okay? Fine. He wasn't zoicha in her nechasim. In other words, the schusa doesn't mean it's not like his mazel. That's not what the Gemara means, by the way. The Gemara doesn't mean his mazel. The way Rashi explains it is that he already has a zechus. Zechusa. Schusa means he already has a schus in some of the property. He has a tfisa, right? He has something in her property. So therefore, anything that fell, he certainly has a schus in those things that become her property now. So therefore, he also has a schus in all of those properties. So the Gemara says, one second, in the schusai naflu. So now you're telling me that he has rights in those properties. Kimachar v'nosna maikayim. So why does it even work? According to Beis Shammai, it's lechatchil, and according to Beis Hillel, it's b'di'evit. But either way, if you're telling me now that the husband does have a right to it, so why does the sale go through? Ella, so that it can't be because the husband has rights, because then he would completely control. Ella reisha vaday bezchusa naflu. The reisha is completely hers, and therefore it's for sure hers, and therefore whatever she wants to do with it, she can do with it, and he has no say in the matter. Seifa ema bezchusa, ema bezchusa, ema bezchusa. So, it by the Sefer, since she only received the property now that she was engaged, it's possible to understand that and view that as partially to the husband's jurisdiction, the husband's property. So therefore, that's why lechatchila leitimkor, we could see it as the husband's, and therefore we don't suggest that she sells. Imachar v'nosna kayim. But on the other hand, since it's only, okay, we could see it, but it's not clearly his, because Lamaisa, it's coming from her possession, and they're only engaged at the moment. So therefore, if she does it, she does it. Okay? So that's the way the Gemara talks about it. So it's an interesting, by the way, I'll just point out, it's an interesting machlekes rishonim. Who's this lechatchila and who's the bidyavit? Meaning, who are we talking to when we say you shouldn't or you should? Are we talking to the girl by saying you shouldn't sell it? Or are we talking about to the third party who goes and knocks on her door and says, hey, is your house for sale? Who are we talking to when we say you shouldn't sell it? But if you did, you did. Who are we talking to? So the machlekes, this is also a machlekes among the Rishonim, whether or not we're talking to her or we're talking to the other guy. Okay, either way, the Gemara now continues. I'm Rabbi Yehuda, Amru Lefnei Rabbi Gamliel. So now, again, as we get to the second stage of the Mishnah, we have this interesting machlokes between the Chachamim and Rabbi Gamliel about if the Chachamim say, hey, listen, once it's his, he gets the control. Rabbi Gamliel says, no. Even when it's his, I don't understand it. So certainly when it's partially his, it shouldn't automatically be hers. So, Ibayilu. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda Alechatchila Ayad Diyavid. In other words, that when we're talking about that Rabbi Gamliel says, I have a problem with the fact that she can sell it, is Rabbi Gamliel's issue with the fact that she could even allow to sell it, or is his issue is it a b'di'evad or l'chadchila? Is he arguing on the fact that l'chadchila we don't allow her to sell it, or is he arguing on the fact that b'di'evad if they sold it, it's a good sale? So what is Rabbi Gamliel really commenting on? So once you see the answer, that it becomes more clear. So now we're on the top of Ayin Ches Amud Beis. So Toshima, the Gemara brings a riot. The Tanya we learned in the Braisa, which is similar to what our Mishnah says, but now it's a Braisa. It says like this. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amru Lefnei Rabbi Gamliel. They said to Rabbi Gamliel, Hoyo Vizu Ishtoi. Both, now, this is his wife and this is his wife. What are we referring to? Both, this we're referring to engaged and married. Both, in both cases, we look again. Remember, I use the word engaged, but we're really talking about Erison. Erison is a little bit stronger relationship than just merely engaged. But so even that is really, there are already connections over here that refer to her as his wife. So the halacha is zu machra batel. So just like if they were already married, it would be clear that what she sold, she can't sell property that she has after they're married. Abzu machra batel. So therefore, right, this is what Rabbi Yehuda said about in front of Rabbi Gamliel. So we say that even when they're engaged, also she can't sell what she's married. She can't sell because the husband has rights to it. Amar lahen. So that, on that, Rabbi Gamliel responded and said, al chadoshim on aboishim. So on this new business, meaning what the property that she has during marriage, we don't really agree with. It happens. But now you have an issue with us. Now you're going to tell us even that when she's engaged, the same rules should apply. Means Rabbi Gamliel has a problem with the b'di'evad. That why do you allow? He's arguing on the b'di'evad. He's saying, why is it only right? Yeah, he's saying why b'di'evad are you even able to? Why is it only? Oh no, a second. Meaning that he argues on the b'di'evad, meaning that the chachamim are saying that even b'di'evad it shouldn't be a good sale, right, and that right. is what Rabbi Gamliel is arguing on, saying why b'di'evad isn't it a good sale? It should be a perfectly good sale. But so he's not arguing on the l'chatchila. On the l'chatchila, he's okay with. He's arguing on the b'di'evad. Why are they saying that it's only a good sale? That it's only a good sale b'di'evad. According to Rabbi Gamliel, the sale should go through, no problem. We should be able to allow her to do it l'chatchila. Even if she comes to Bezin and asks, should I do this? Bezin will say, sure, no problem. Rabbi Gamliel says, you're only engaged. Do whatever you want. Our question originally was in Rabbi Yehuda. When Rabbi Yehuda brought the chachamim and they said, you should not be able to sell. Was Rabbi Yehuda saying you should not be able to sell l'chatchila, but would agree that you should sell b'di'evad? Or was Rabbi Yehuda arguing even on b'di'evad? He was saying that the chachamim were saying even b'di'evad the sale should not go through. And in conclusion, the Gemara is saying that Rabbi Yehuda's chachamim were arguing even on the b'di'evad. Of course, l'chatchila you can't sell. Of course, l'chatchila you can't sell. Even b'di'evad you shouldn't be able. Even if you went ahead and sold it, the sale should not be a good sale. That's what Rabbi Yehuda was arguing on. To which Rabbi Gamliel was responding, I don't understand. Why do you have an issue with the sale? You should be able to sell, no problem. Do whatever you want. So for sure, b'di'evad the sale should go through. But the point was, again, the question wasn't what Rabbi Gamliel's shita is. Rabbi Gamliel's shita is clear that you should be able to do whatever you want during engaged. During the Erisin. The Chiddush is that Rabbi Yehuda, when he quoted the Chachamim, were saying that according to the Chachamim, you shouldn't have been able to sell even b'di'evad. Okay. And now the Chachamim wanted to turn off the faucet completely. She should not be able to sell at all. And that's where Gamliel says, what are you talking about? I don't understand. You should be able to sell if you want to sell.
So what's it again?
Here we learned in the Braisa. I'm Rabbi Chanina ben Akavya. Loi kach Heshivon Rabbi Gamliel Chacham. That's actually not accurate. It's not exactly what Rabbi Gamliel said to Chacham. Elakach Heshivon. But rather, what Rabbi Gamliel really said was as follows, a little bit differently. Loyim Amres B'Nesua. I understand if you talk about a girl who's already married that can't sell. Shekein Bala Zakai B'Metziyosa Uva Maisi Odeha Uva Afaras Nidareha. So because over there, once they're fully married, he even gets what she finds, he even gets what she earns, and he can even be mefer on his own anything. So he really controls the situation, so we understand why she can't sell property without him. Taimer ba'arusa, does that really make sense? By an arusa, she'ain ba'alazaka, loy b'metziyasa, the husband does not get what she finds, v'loy b'metziyada, not what she earns, v'loy ba'afaras nedara, and he can't be made for a nedara without the husband, without the father. So we see that the husband doesn't really control the situation. So that's why he shouldn't be able to control whether she sells or not. That was Rabbi Gamliel's point. Amruloi, Rabbi. So Rabbi responded to them and says, machro, take out the word law. The Haggadah Sabbath takes out the word law. It doesn't belong there. So machra ad shaloi nises. That's talking about, I understand if she sells before she was married and a chanami. Nises v'achakach machra mahu. But let's say she first got married and then she sold the properties which she had from beforehand. This is what Rabbi was saying. In other words, I understand before she's married, so she can do what she wants. But now that she's married, what about those premarital properties? Amar lahen, avzu mecheres v'nesenes v'kayim. So then Rabbi Gamliel said, yeah, that if she got it when she was engaged, that's her property, she can do what she wants. Amru loy. So they said to him, no. Hoyel v'zocha be'isha. So this is, in other words, this is the full shakel of Atayah. When we were quoting from in our Mishnah, we were only quoting the second half, the end of the back and forth. This is the end of the back and forth. Amruloi, so they said, Hoyel v'zocha be'isha. So I don't understand. Once he was married to her, lo yizkav v'nechasim, doesn't he get the property also? Like, it's the full package. Whatever she comes with. It's she and her property. Amalahem, and on that, finally, Rabbi Gamliel responds, no, alachadoshim anaboshim. I understand. No. I get it, the property that she gets when she's married, that's already marital property, and the husband controls. But you want to take even the property that she had from beforehand. Where does that come in? That's not property that he got, that's property that she brought into the marriage, so it's her property. Oh. So fine. So that's the way the Braisa wants to quote the machlekes between Rabbi Gamliel and the Chachamim. So then the Gemara says, "Vanan tanan." But we already learned in our Mishnah, "Atchalei nisus v'nises," that if she had property from before they were married, and now they got married, Rabbi Gamliel lomer and machir v'nos nakayim. Even Rabbi Gamliel agreed that she could sell. No, so vanan tanan. And we learned, "Atchalei nisus v'nises," Rabbi Gamliel. So it says that actually nisus v'nisus Rabbi Gamliel amir machav v'nos l'kayim that she could sell. Oh, it sounds like the Gemara was misunderstood Rabbi Gamliel and thought that Rabbi Gamliel was only talking about those things that she had while she was engaged. But now we're quoting Rabbi Gamliel to say that once she gets married, even Rabbi Gamliel would agree that would argue on what you could sell. Im machr v'nos nakayim. It sounds like it's only a b'di'evid, but even Rabbi Gamliel would agree that she shouldn't really sell property once she gets married. To which the Gemara simply says, Amar Rav Zvid, Tani Mecheres v'nesenes v'kayim. And Chanami, Rabbi Gamliel holds that property that she had from before the marriage is completely and entirely hers, and even l'chatchilo, she can sell it or give it away. That's Rav Zvid's answer. Rav Zvid saying that Rabbi Gamliel is, so to speak, in the context of what we're talking about, Rabbi Gamliel is the most extreme in saying any property she had from beforehand has nothing to do with the husband. She could do whatever she wants. That's Rav Zvid's approach. Rav Papa Omar, Rav Papa says, Lo kasha, ha Rabbi Yehuda aliba de Rabbi Gamliel, ha Rabbi Chanina ben Akavya aliba de Rabbi Gamliel. So it depends on who are you talking about when it says that it's only b'di'evid. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it would only be b'di'evid. According to Rabbi Chanina, ben Akavya, maybe an Achanami, Rabbi Gamliel would even take it further to the extreme that she can sell the chatchila. So the Gemara says, that means according to Rabbi Chanina ben Akavya, you could even sell that Rabbi Gamliel's shita was, you could sell the chatchila. So that comes out. So the Gemara asks, Rabbi Chanina ben Akavya ka Beishamai. So that comes out like Beishamai, because now it's consistent back with the beginning of the Mishnah that Rabbi Beishamai's shita was that if she had it from before they were married and after they got married, you can sell the chatchila. Which is a little bit difficult because we don't like to make shitas alike according to Beis Shammai. We try to make everything according to Beis Hillel. So how could Rabbi Chanina ben Akavya hold only like Rabbi Shammai? So the Gemara answers, no. What he meant to say is Hachi Ka Omar. You're right. I don't want to be Beis Hillel Shita. What I'm trying to say is that this was never Machlekes Beis Shammai Beis Hillel in the first place. Even, meaning he's arguing on what Beis Hillel said. Our Mishnah quotes Beis Hillel as saying that it's only a sale b'di'evet. And on that, Rav Chanina ben Akavya is saying that's not true. Beis Hillel agrees. It's not a Machlekes Beis Shammai Beis Hillel, even on this point. Just like, again, to put things in perspective, just like the first case of our Mishnah, everybody agreed that if she got it when she was single and then got engaged, everybody, both Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, agree that she could sell it whenever she wants. So too over here also, if she got it when she was engaged and then got married, also, Rav Chanina ben Akavya is saying, in other words, it's not such a crazy shita. It's similar to what the first shita was also. Rav Chanina ben Akavya is saying that that's Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel also agree in that case, that if it's from beforehand, according to the way Rav Gamliel at least sees things, again, this is Rav Gamliel's view on what the halacha should be, so therefore she could sell. So it comes out that according to Rav Gamliel, especially according to Rav Chanina, according to Rav Papa's way of explaining Rav Chanina ben Akavya, right, so you have to keep track of all the shitas, it comes out that according to Rav Gamliel, only property that she acquired after they were married does the husband have control over. Any property that was from before they were married, the husband has no control over. Now, of course, if she stays in the marriage and eventually if she would die, it would go to the husband. All those halachas apply. We're just talking about those things as whether she could step in between and do whatever she wants with property without the husband giving his consent and without giving his permission. So it would come out again. According to the way Rav Papa is explaining, Rav Chanina ben Akavya is explaining Rav Gamliel in the Mishnah, it would come out that according to Rav Gamliel, she could do whatever she wants, unless the property was only first acquired after they got married. Okay, now, a new thing. Rav Ushmul Damar Tarvayu, they both say, Ben Shenaflu Anachosim Ad Shaloinis Arsa, whether she got the property even before they were engaged, Ben Shenaflu Anachosim Mishinis Arsa, or she only acquired the property, she only obtained the property after they were engaged. Okay, either way, she's now engaged with property, whether she got it now or before. Vinisais, and now she got married. Haba Moitzim Yad HaLekuchos, the husband can take away the property, he can undo the property. So, now, that's their statement. That's Rav and Shmuel's statement, that once she gets married, again, the extreme opposite of what we just said 2 seconds ago. Again, there are shitas like this, but extreme opposite of what we just said. Kaman, Deloike Rabbi Yehuda, Deloike Rabbi Chanina ben Akavya. It comes out, actually, this statement that says the husband can unwind anything once they got married doesn't really work according to any of the shitas. Because according to Rabbi Chanina ben Akavya, that's for sure it doesn't work. Because we just said according to Rabbi Chanina ben Akavya, she could do whatever she wants. That's so for sure, that doesn't make sense. And even Rabbi Yehuda, who says that the husband does have some jurisdiction, he also agrees, b'di'evet, if they sold, it was sold. So, and here you're saying that it was not, even b'di'evet, it wasn't sold. So, inhu da'amri, so the Gemara's answer is, inu, Rav and Shmuel da'amri k'ri Rabbi Seinu. They say like a new shita. Anachanami, it doesn't work according to any of the shitas we were just quoting on this Amid. The Tanya, this is a new shita. The Tanya we learned in a Braisa. Rabbi Seinu, chazru v'nimnu. The Chachamim went back and they said, okay, let's work this out. And they said as follows. Ben shenaflu ad shaloi tesaris, whether she got the property before they were engaged, ben shenaflu lo mishin tesaris, or whether she obtained the property after they were already engaged, then it says, and now that she is married, haba moitzim yada lekuches. Okay, so this is a new shita, a new development, so to speak, in the halacha, and obviously it's much easier for us to understand it because it's very consistent, it's one simple rule. One simple rule is that once she is married, she can't do anything with her property without the husband's permission, and if she does, the husband can undo what she did. Now we're going to talk about what exactly can the husband undo, but it's a very simple rule. This is the Rabbi saying. Again, it's not consistent. I know there's a lot of shitas not like that. The opposite of Rabbi Chanina ben Akavya. It doesn't work according to Rabbi Yehuda. It doesn't work according to Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. It doesn't work according to a lot of shitas. But according to these chachamim went ahead and they simplified the rule and they said once she's married, he can do. It's now the husband's up for the husband to decide. Okay. Now let's take this. Let's continue to the bottom.
And what about property?
Now it says Mishanisus Elavei Elamoydim that once she gets married, going back to the beginning of our Mishnah, we're Moydim that she should not sell Lichatchila. Okay, so now the Gemara says Leima Tanina LeTakaras Usha. This Mishnah maybe fits in with what they were Masakin in Usha. What in Usha was a place where Sanhedrin was for a short period of time, and they made a lot of takanas for Klal Yisrael during that period of time. Now, what is the takana? The Amar of Yosef Bar Chanina, the Rav Yosef Bar Chanina tells us, Be'usha Yeskino, when they were in Usha, they were masakin the following. Ha'isha Shemachru B'nichsei Melug, if a woman sells property, Nichsei Melug, Nichsei Melug are properties that the woman brings into the marriage that the husband is allowed to use, and whatever he uses. If the marriage ends, she gets the property back and as is condition. But the point is that the husband gets to use them while they were married. So now, what if she sold those properties? So she brought, again, the easiest example, I don't know if it's a perfect example, but the easiest example, she brings the car into the marriage, the husband uses the car, no problem, and she went ahead and she sold the car, b'chayei ba'alo. While the husband was alive, she sold the property. Clearly, if the husband dies, then, you know, there's a different discussion. But she sold it. Umesa, and then she died. So she sold the car, and now she died, and the husband wants the car back. So this in Usha, they said, Habal moitzim yad halakuchos. The husband can take it back. Because, again, this is based on what we said before. In Usha, they said, no problem. Whatever, the husband completely controls, he can take it back. Now, so that contradicts our Mishnah, because our Mishnah says that it's a bidyeva, the sale is a good sale. So the Gemara's answer is, masnisin bechayeho ulepeirois, that our Mishnah is talking about while she was alive, because remember, the Braisa we just quoted, the case was that eventually she died. But our Mishnah is talking about while she is alive, so we say that our Mishnah says that bidyeva, it's a good sale. Now what it means is it's a good sale, what that means is during her lifetime, the purchaser gets to use the property and whatever it produces, they get to use the object. Takaras Usha begufa shel karkro lachamis. So Takaras Usha was saying that the husband can unwind is talking about, hey, listen, I was really, if she hadn't sold it, I would have yarshined it. Now that she's dead, I'm yarshining it. I'm taking it back. And I'm taking it, it's not really a contradiction. Takaras Usha, this Braisa and the Mishnah are not a contradiction. Our Mishnah is talking about while she's alive, and Takaras Usha is talking about after she's alive. Very simple. Okay, but the point is, it's a good sale for her lifetime, during her lifetime. It's a life estate while she's alive. After she's alive, it goes back to the husband. Now, let's finish off with this last piece of the Gemara. That the last thing that we quoted, this is just a definition. Reb Shimon Choylik ben Chosam, he makes a distinction between those properties that are known to properties that are not known. So, Elu Hein Yiduin ve'Elohin She'en Yiduin. So what is considered known versus not known? How do you define that term? So Amar Rabbi Yosi b'Rab Chanina, so Rabbi Yosi says, Yiduin mekarkoi is talking about land, real estate. She'en Yiduin metaltali is talking about movable, tangible items. So therefore, Enochanami, that's what the husband, so again, as we said before, if you want to use, instead of the word known versus not known, expectation versus non-expectation, karkoi he expects, metaltali he doesn't expect. That's one way to define it. Okay. Rav Yochanan gives a different explanation. No, if they're there and the husband knows about it, he knows about it. So why is she allowed to sell it? If it's not a difference between land versus metaltalin, so what is the difference? What is she'en yiduin? Kol she'yosheves kan v'nafalo nechosim b'medinas hayam. That she's here and she has property someplace else that really the actual definition of known. The husband doesn't know about it. So if he doesn't know about it, so then there's no explanation whatsoever. It's you know, there's nothing really to talk about because she doesn't know about it. Or rather, he doesn't know about it, so he doesn't have an expectation. Tanya Nami Hochi, so we have a Braisa that says the same thing. Elu Hein She'enu Yiduin, what's considered property that he does not know about? And therefore she could do whatever she wants. Kol She Yeshevas Kan, V'nafalo Nechosim B'medinas Hayom. That she's here, and she has property in a different place that he doesn't know about. He has no connection to it. He has no connection to it, so that's not part of his estate, not part of what he is expecting to be part of his estate, so therefore she could do whatever she wants. Okay, we'll stop over here, even though there are three lines left to the Gemara, because this really goes into the next Amid, and it's really part of the next interesting subject. So we'll stop over here.